So Lena Hall, who is the queen of big data, as we call her in-house, is going to show us how you can power up your apps with big data. And she's got a very large big data problem, which is New York taxi cab logs.
Fun fact, Lena is how you say it in the original mother tongue. Lena.
Wow.
She might say I'm wrong, but at least I feel ethnic when I say it that way.
She's just like, please, you two leave and let me do my session. Over to you, Lena. Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Thank you so much, Seth and Donna, for the awesome introduction. I really admire you both, and thank you for organizing and, you know, hosting this wonderful conference. I'm going to share my screen to present my slides. So hello, everyone. Welcome to my session on unleashing the potential of Power Apps with big data. I am very excited to share useful tips with you, and hopefully after this session, you will be able to get started with an app powered by big data on Azure. But before we get started today, a brief introduction motivation of why we're talking about Power Apps and big data. So first of all, the world of business applications is powered and driven by data. Both large corporations and smaller startups, they collect vast amounts of information with the goal of extracting value from either real-time or historical data. And this data takes many forms. It needs to be stored effectively. We need to analyze and process it. And at the same time, there are so many ways that we can make this data accessible for future analysis. Of course, there are some standard APIs that we can use, some programming language SDKs, and other ways to extract and query the data to process and analyze it. But the biggest advantage that Power Apps have is being able to connect to some of the most common data sources and extract value from data without needing to learn all of the underlying details of the data source and writing the code to connect to it. In fact, in the demo that I will show you today, I will not need to write a single line of code to connect to the data, to fetch the data, or work with the data, other than some trivial configuration. So to summarize, Power Apps really enable and empower more people to get value out of large amounts of data in their domain and organizations without really requiring extensive knowledge. So just a little bit about myself. I am a principal software engineer in cloud advocacy focused on data, distributed systems, analytics, and machine learning as well. I speak at conferences. I co-organize some of the conferences like ML for All and .NET Fringe, and I hold a master's degree in computer science. So let's get started with our talk. This is what I'm going to cover today. We will review what types of data sources we have to frequently interface with. We'll get familiar with some of the most helpful big data services available on Azure. We will take a deeper look at Azure Synapse as a modern data warehouse solution. And I will also use it in my example today. We will learn how to connect Power Apps applications to a data source, and then how to actually work with this data from the application. All of this will be shown as a quick example of building a simple New York Taxi Trips inventory application that will demonstrate these capabilities. So where is the data coming from? Depending on the domain and the way the data is being collected, there are a few most common types of data sources. For example, it can come from static data files, as is frequently the case with the text information or certain reports. It can come from real-time events generated by devices, sensors, or certain online activities. This kind of information is perfect to collect in queues or data ingestion systems in the cloud. Some real-time information and data is coming from financial operations or other online transactions. It should be stored in databases that are good for fast data access and random queries. But other data, on the contrary, doesn't require immediate action, and it can be stored mostly for historical purposes and for bulk analytics at a later time frame. And this can be a collection of logs, archives, or user actions. There are also business systems like SharePoint or Dynamics that we use to collect and store data as well. And we can use this data as a source for our applications. And at the end, there are cases when data is coming from source that we can't always precisely categorize. So Azure provides quite a few services to enable the vast majority of common big data scenarios. Azure Blob, File, Table Storage, Data Lake Storage, they're perfect for large collections of files of different types. Services like Event Hubs or Event Grid, they support real-time event operations. Data Factory is helping with import, export of data, integrations, and workflows around your data. Azure Cosmos DB really helps with high throughput, low latency transactional data. As we all know, SQL Server is great for storing relational data. There are products like Azure Log Analytics and Azure Data Explorer, which are a perfect fit for queries on log data and analysis of time series data. And we also have things like Azure SQL Data Warehouse and Azure Synapse, which isn't listed here at the moment. And they work well with historical data and for connecting, analyzing, and reporting on business data from heterogeneous sources. And all of these services we can use now, connect to them and import data to Power Apps. But at the same time, we're not limited to only using Azure services for working with data. There are many external data sources that we can load data from. For example, S3 or Google Cloud Storage. There are data warehousing and analytic solutions like Redshift, BigQuery, Teradata that we can use. Relational databases like Postgres and MySQL, not necessarily on Azure. We can also use data from collaboration and productivity services like Google Drive or Sheets and many, many more external data sources. And I really can't wait to demonstrate how we can create a Power Apps application and connect it to the data. But before we can do that, I'd like to tell you a little bit more about the data service that we're going to use in the example application today. This is Azure Synapse. And often many businesses need a place to store and analyze data, but also to experiment with it interactively and combine the expertise of multiple groups while working with data. So since recently Azure introduced Synapse, it combines all data operations that we may frequently need. For example, storage, processing, analytics, experimentation, and visualization. Another great thing about it is that we can choose between serverless and provisioned capacity, depending whether we need to be flexible and adjust to the bursts of our workloads, or if we have a predictable resource load. Synapse also supports both SQL and Apache Spark runtimes. SQL is great because a lot of the data scientists and data analytics specialists, they're already familiar with it, and they know how to write SQL and execute familiar queries. With Spark, there are a lot of data engineers who are familiar with Java, Scala, or Python, or C#, and they would like to run Spark queries against the data in Synapse. Both of them are possible. Some other really great features are integration with Azure Machine Learning and Spark Machine Learning. We can also use Azure Data Factory for convenient data ingestion with multiple data sources, and effectively visualize our data in Power BI. So let's take a brief look at what Synapse offers in terms of ingestion, exploration, analysis, and visualization. And if you'd like to create a workspace and try it out by aka.ms/synapse-workspace-create, you can follow instructions on how to create a workspace in Azure CLI. But also you can go to aka.ms/synapse-docs to see instructions in the user interface in Azure Portal. So here we are in Azure Portal. This is an instance of Azure Synapse Workspace. As we can see, there are multiple settings like SQL pools, Apache Spark pools. We can dive deeper into each of them and see what we can tune, as well as some security settings, managed identities. But the most interesting thing is if we navigate to the workspace URL, which brings us to an Azure Synapse Workspace portal. There, we'll be able to ingest, explore, analyze, and visualize our data. So first of all, let's look at ingestion. We can create pipelines and copy the data into Synapse from various data sources. Here we can see the list of already connected data sources, but we can also create a new connection and pick the ones available from Azure services. We can pick databases, not only hosted on Azure. If our data is stored in files or file storage, we can also connect that. We can also work with generic protocols, NoSQL databases, and a lot more services and applications. So once we ingest our data, we're ready to explore it. In this tab, we can see the list of linked and connected data sets. So here are loaded taxi data, and there's a convenient tab called Schema, where we can see what fields we already have. This is very convenient for our future demo. So once we saw what our data is, we can take a look at how we can actually explore it interactively in the Workspace portal. So here we can create various interactive notebooks. Choose between SQL notebooks or other notebooks. For example, if we create one, we can attach it to a Spark pool or a SQL pool. We can pick a language out of these four. And for example, when we pick SQL, we'll be able to write Spark SQL code, but also if you're familiar with other language, you can mix and match them in one notebook as well. So don't write this in production, but this is just an example of what you can do with analytical queries and notebooks. So since we're not gonna do that in the workspace, we're gonna go back to the next option, like orchestration and monitoring. Here we can see what are the processes running against our data, are there successful or failed SQL requests, and we can see all of the data sources and pools connected to our instance. So it provides really great functionality. And the very important thing is we can also visualize our data with Power BI very easily without needing to go anywhere else, just picking a resource that we would like to connect the data to. So now that we know that we have our data source somewhere with data, we would like to use it to build an application to make use of this data. So in this talk, we're talking about the New York City trips information. And we would like to have an application to search through the trips, visualize some of the destinations, and just have a great inventory, simple mobile application. So we briefly saw how to import data from multiple data sources. That would be the first step. Then we would need to take note of what data schema we're going to be working with and what fields do we actually need for our application. As a next step, we would also need to make sure that we know the connection information for our data source and at the end to perform the steps necessary to connect it. So let's go through each step to make sure that we're clear. First step is loading data. So you would click on connect to external data or the new data source. I connected the data from Azure Blob Storage. So I load it into the storage account, and I pick the storage account where the data is on. Then I pick the file format. So in this case, it's JSON. And then once we create a linked service, we need to indicate storage properties like container, directory, file, or anything else that is relevant for your data source. So once we've done that, the data should be loaded, and we should be ready to look at the data schema. In this case, the data schema is pretty large size, so we will pick a couple of properties that we will interact with most in our application. So it will be pickup location, drop-off location, trip duration, trip distance, and fare amount. This should be a good minimal set of data that we can make use of. So let's take a look at what connection information we need. If we go back to Azure Portal, we will need to take note of a server name, which is a fully qualified Synapse server name. And we will need the name of the pool that is storing our data. Once we have that, we're ready to actually connect. So let's see how we can do this. So this is Power Apps Portal. We're creating the app from data. We are exploring of what connection options we have. It will just take a couple of seconds. Here we can click New Connection. And we're looking for SQL Server type, because Azure Synapse is organized as a SQL Server behind the scenes. We will input our SQL Server name, database, username, and password from the properties that we looked at. And after that, it should show us the tables available for us to connect to. So here I have one table, trip. And based on this information, it should generate a basic app structure that we can use as a foundation. And this is great because we're not just starting from the very scratch. It is an intelligent system that looks at our data and sees what kind of operations we might want to do with it. So while it is generating that, we see the environment with a couple of sidebars, with elements in the user interface that we can work with, and with the details screen. So this looks like coordinates, so which is right. Our data is kind of similar to that. And we can start from here. So let's actually create a basic structure of an application using our data. So let's see what this actually is. If we go to Advanced tab and look at the text, we see that this is a drop-off coordinates, latitude and longitude. But let's actually change it to display pickup location. And we can do that by changing the data property to correspond to the pickup latitude and longitude field. And the data should update accordingly. This is great. Now let's add a new field and display the drop-off location, which we can do just simply by copying the first field and changing the data. So all we need to do is change the text to mirror what we actually want to display and pick a new value from the list, drop-off, latitude, and longitude. And this is done. So what other useful information we can provide here? We can take a look at fare amount, trip distance, and trip duration. So let's start with fare amount. It would be interesting to search for trips by the amount people had to pay for it. And we know that it's in dollars. So let's find this property in this item dot fare amount. Great, so it did update our screen. And the next we would like to look at trip distance or trip duration. So distance, let's see what it's actually measured in. distance in miles. So let's update our text to indicate that this is miles. And the last one that will fit here is the trip duration. And all of this data is very easily accessible. And as you can see, you don't have to remember all the field names. You can just press dot and see what properties are available. And here we have trip duration in seconds, which might not be very convenient. We might want to change it to something like minutes. So we'll just divide it by 60 and update. Yeah, see, here screen is updated and updated to seconds, to minutes. So this is done. And now just as a finishing step, let's update the text on the top to actually indicate what we want to call our app, like New York City Taxi Inventory. And this is it for the main screen, but let's actually add some visualization. What if we wanted to click on each trip and not only see the coordinates, but actually we want to see it on a map? And it's pretty easy to do with Power Apps because you can add custom components to display things. So here I'm using Bing Maps, and there is a component that was shared by April, actually one of the speakers here at this conference as well. And we can use it to display custom coordinate values. So here's how we can do this. We can navigate to Bing Maps portal, create an application. It is very quick. Copy the API key, and then go to the GitHub page shared by April, download Bing Maps components application component that we will use later, and use those things to actually add a map. So let's navigate to the details screen, which was already pre-created by our template. So the first step that we're going to do is remove all the unnecessary fields that were generated and only leave those that we might need. So let's actually leave the time. There is drop-off location, but let's actually call it something more friendly than that. Drop-off coordinates. And the next step for us is to add a custom component. But first, let's rename the screen to actually indicate what we're doing. It will display drop-off coordinates details. Great. So next we navigate to custom, new component, or import component. We attach the Bing Maps coordinates component. And here we loaded two of the new components. We will use Bing Maps multiple locations. So how do we do this? We go back to the map and we see the new two components in the settings. We click multiple locations. Here's our component. Let's move one of the fields a little up higher to make sure they don't overlap. And here we navigate back to the map in the sidebar and look at its properties. How do we actually make it work? Click on advanced. We have two things we need to fill out, API key and plot points. And there is a special configuration setting that we need to set and point it to the data value of coordinates, which is stored in data field, data card value 4. After that, it should be all set for the plot points. The only thing left is just adding an API key. So here we see something changed. So looks like a map, looks like a location on the map. How do we check if it works? We can run the app and see what it works like in action. So if we click on the play button, here's our main screen. We can browse through and search through various trips. We see the updated information from Azure Synapse. And when we click on it, there is a detailed screen showing the drop-off location corresponding to the coordinates that we indicated. So in the first part of the talk, we learned all about existing options for big data on Azure and connecting it to Power Apps. And then in under 10 minutes, we were able to create a real application where you can fetch, browse, search for, and visualize data. So right now, please feel free to participate in the Ask Me Anything session on dev.2 page at aka.ms/powerfuldev2, where I can answer your questions. Take a note of this link. And if you enjoyed this talk, please let me know and tweet at me at LenaDroid. And as next steps, please check out Microsoft documentation on Power Platform and Azure Synapse and other data services. These are some great resources that can take you even further. And thank you so much for tuning in, and have a great rest of your day.